Welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita. Discover your way home. You know, one thing that is constant in life is there will always be change. And changes could be buying or selling a home, the loss of a loved one, marriage, divorce, it goes on. But when you find yourself on a new path, whether planned or unexpected, what you know is home is shaken or shattered. So this is clear. How you process a change will impact the trajectory of your life. Moving Forward for Life with Rosita starts now. Hey, and welcome to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. I'm Rosita, your host and founder of Moving Forward for Life. I have spent many painful years detached from my own identity, my home, the core of who I am and who God made me to be. I finally woke up and I went on my healing journey. And now I partner with women to help them determine what they need to come home, how they can get connected with who they are again. Now, home being the core of who you are, who you were made to be. So the topics of my podcast are all related to help you discover you, to help you find your purpose, get unstuck, and move forward to a life you desire and deserve. Mm-hmm. So today, I have with me Abby Hegney. Did I say that right, Abby?
You sure did.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm really excited about this topic. Now, Abby is a board-certified health and mindset coach. Yeah. That's huge. You had to go through a lot of stuff to get board certified. So I just want to give you much respect, Abby. And if you could give us a snippet about yourself and you know, maybe even let's just go into your story, because today we're going to talk about the three tips to love the skin you're in, whether you're zero size, plus 22, whatever it is, you are absolutely gorgeous and who you were supposed to be. So Abby and I are going to talk a lot about the three tips. We're going to talk about the definition culture places on beauty. Mm-hmm. And then Abby will share her story and why she got into this thing to begin with, into this type of coaching. And we'll share the three tips, or she'll share the three tips. I'll chime in from time to time about how to love the skin you're in. I'm so excited about this because this is huge for us as women, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I love, you know, everything that you're all about. I love that because as a health and mindset coach, that's exactly what I help women to do, is to feel healthy and confident in their own way, right? I think that's the biggest thing that we need to understand as women, is that there is some sort of version of healthy we all have in mind, but there's also what healthy really looks like for us and what confidence looks like for us. And we're all unique individuals. God gave us all different bodies for a reason. What works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person. And it's really being able to step into that version of healthy and of confidence while living the life that you love. Too often we feel like we have to pull back on our lives in order to reach that level of, you know, feeling our best or feeling most confident in our bodies. But we can do that without restricting food or without feeling like we need to do certain movements that maybe don't work for us, or exercise routines that don't work for us, or feeling deprived. That really just shuts us down and doesn't really allow us to live our lives fully. So I think we're very aligned, I think, in the way that we approach things, which will be really great for today's discussion.
Absolutely. So let me start by saying that there has always been such a stigma, right, of mm-hmm. what society deems as beautiful.
Yeah.
And this places so much pressure on us as women to fit the bill. I mean, I grew up in the 70s where we had the Farrah Fawcett and the Sophia Loren and, you know, Raquel Welch of all people, you know, absolutely gorgeous women. But yeah, we are all different. Not all of us look like that Hollywood look, mm-hmm. right? And to have the pressure to live up to that or not be picked because we don't have the Hollywood look. I mean, just the pressure and what it does to our self-esteem is ridiculous. So glad that today, probably in the last 5 years, I'm going to say, but more prominently in today, that we as women are starting to really grab a hold to who we are. And it's okay. We can be beautiful in any shell that we occupy, right? I mean.
Yeah, and I think there is a lot that's changing in the world in terms of the types of bodies that we see featured in magazines and movies. And, you know, that comes from anywhere from size to height to skin color and, you know, hair color, eye color, all of the things, right? We're seeing much more diversity in that. But I also think that with that, we are in this world of social media now where we have filters and everybody's showing their best life. And it can be so easy that even though the world is opening more up to what beautiful looks like, it can be so easy for us to place judgment on ourselves of what we have or how we look versus what somebody else is showing us. And so really recognizing how that is playing into your life and being able to pull back and come into who you are and feel proud of who you are and confident in who you are and what you have and what you have control over, because we have more control over things than we often realize that we do. And that'll play into, you know, the three steps that we're going to talk about in terms of building that confidence and that health for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. There is so much more, internet type pressure. I'm losing the word right now, but you're right. The filters, you could be absolutely gorgeous with the smoothing and the, all this and that. It's true. But when you know who you are at the core and you have a solid rock foundation, there is nothing that can kind of push you off of that rock. You're stable. You're set in that foundation. So no matter what anybody says or looks, yeah, we might fall into that. We're still human, you know, where we compare ourselves. But when we really get in contact with who we are, what we're made here to be, who the core, the beauty in our own selves, those are so minimal for me nowadays, you know, and because it's like, wow, look at her life. Oh, wow. How come I didn't? You're just wasting time, really. Yeah, go there sometimes, have your little pity party, but don't have it for long.
Yeah. Like you said, you're human, right? We have a human brain that's going to try to tell us, you know, I reference a lot in my work, our inner mean girl, right? And that's for men as well. But, you know, for us women too, like we have this inner voice that wants to tell us we're not enough, that we can't do something, that we'll never be able to do that. We haven't done it before. So what makes us think that we're doing it now, or we messed up, or all of the things, but really that's just human nature. Our brain does not like to change, or doesn't like change. It doesn't like something different. It likes the comfort of what it knows. And it likes to stay within that, which means if you are uncomfortable being uncomfortable, you won't change yourself. You have to be willing to step into a little bit of discomfort, knowing that, hey, my brain's going to tell me that this isn't right, that this isn't safe, that I shouldn't be doing this. But if you don't step into that, you're never going to change. You're never going to build that confidence or create those habits that you want or fully live the life that you want to be living, because we're just stuck in this place of comfort.
Yes. Yep. I'm going to do a little plug because I'm doing a webinar soon that is about three tips to get unstuck. That's coming up March 11th, you guys. Okay. So Abby, share a little bit about your story.
And I know we're going to talk about three tips. So if it's okay with you, I want to share those, the three steps first, and I'm going to tell my story as it relates to those three steps so that we can kind of, I think it's sometimes helpful to know where we're going. So you can listen for the relevance of it within my own story.
Okay. Sounds great.
So the three steps to really coming into who you are and feeling confident in your own skin really boil down to awareness, compassion, and practice. And when it comes to practice, I often think of like re-scripting or rewriting. And we'll talk about that too. But with those three steps in mind, my story really starts before I even knew it started. It started when I was about 12 years old. I was in gymnastics. I love gymnastics. It was something my best friend and I were in together. We would go, you know, a couple times a week, and it was just the thing that I looked forward to. Loved my coaches, loved everything about it. One day, one of my coaches said to me a comment along the lines of, be careful that you don't gain weight. Gymnasts are meant to be small. And, you know, I don't believe that he meant any, you know, had any malicious intent around that. He may not have even realized what he was saying in the way that he was saying it. And, you know, 95 out of 100 little girls may not have heard it or thought anything of it. But then there's a few of us that did hear it. And I was one of those little girls that took that comment and latched onto it. And I latched onto it so much so that the next 20 years of my life had that in my mind. I quickly grew to judging myself. Every time I looked in the mirror, I was looking at, you know, what looks bigger today than yesterday? Where should this be smaller? I would, you know, put my hands around my thighs and think, oh, well, yesterday I think I got up higher, so something must be wrong. I watched everything that I ate. You know, this was back in the 80s, 90s. It was, you know, no fat, then it was no carbs, then it was low calorie and all of the things, right? I would go through magazines. I'd be so excited when I would see a new, you know, health related magazine at the store that was going to give me a workout routine to thin my legs or this to lose weight. And I would just curate all of those things, all of the meal plans, all of the exercises. And I, at like 12 years old, I had a binder in my room of things, all of the things that I should be doing. And I really lived my life in this space of should and shouldn't. And that came down to, you know, again, the food that I ate. I'd go to a birthday party and not eat the cake. And I would, you know, if I ate something that I didn't think I should be eating, I would go out and I'd run an extra mile. And movement for me was really about punishment for the things that I had eaten or the things that I hadn't done. And so I really grew up thinking that I was the healthy one. I was like, oh, but I watch what I eat and I do all of this, these workouts. And I just thought that this is what girls and women did. We watched what we ate. We worked out to stay small. We criticized ourselves. And it didn't hit me until I was pregnant with my son, who's now 8. It was my first child. And when I was pregnant, which is what my husband and I had wanted, I had this thought of, well, now I have to gain weight. And it was such a terrifying thought for so many reasons, but mainly because I had told myself all of my life that I can't gain weight. And now I was in a spot where I was going to be gaining weight. I wanted to gain weight. I had to gain weight for a healthy pregnancy, and because clearly a baby has to grow. And it just made me realize how unhealthy I had been, how I had spent 20 plus years of my life just in this negative space, this dark space. I had missed out on so much joy and opportunities and just living a life that really I truly loved, from a place of something was always wrong. I was always doing something that I shouldn't be doing or wasn't right, or was doing something when I should be, you know, running or something else, right? And so it really struck me then, and I knew in that moment that I wasn't the healthy person that I had been. And it was that awareness of, wait, something's not right here, that started this ripple effect that I was now able to create. So where I had had a very negative ripple, I started to change that into a more positive spin on things, because I knew that if I wanted my child to be healthy, if I wanted my child to grow up with confidence and feeling like their body was exactly the body that they should have, and not having this poor relationship with food, and loving movement for the energy and the health that it brings us, it had to start with me.
That's so interesting that it was during the time when you're pregnant, the emotions are high.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you had an awareness as a child, but then and that's great. So you already had that ability to have, you know, self-awareness, and then it shifted then to a healthier awareness. That's awesome.
Yeah. I had the awareness of what I was doing as a child. I didn't have the awareness of what it was doing to me. I didn't see both sides of it. And I think that's a really key part of awareness. And like you said, sometimes you get into those days where we have those negative thoughts, or we compare ourselves to others. But then you're able to kind of step back and see what the big picture, what's really happening, and be able to pull yourself out of that. I, growing up, only had that one track of this is what I should be doing. And anything beyond that was wrong.
Yeah.
And so bringing that awareness to, wait a minute, this isn't actually serving me. It's not helping me. It's not really making me feel good, because all I'm doing is judging myself. I'm judging everything that I do. I'm judging everything, you know, everything that I see in a picture or in the mirror came with a level of judgment.
Yeah. I mean, women are really great with that. If we could shift that to just, you know, compassion, which is your next tip, is to have compassion for yourself. If we could switch it to that.
Yes.
That would be powerful.
100%, because what I learned is you have that voice inside your head that's going to tell you, oh, you know, you don't look good in this picture, or you should look like this, or you shouldn't have eaten that, or you should. And to just be able to release the judgment and have compassion for what happened, what you did, or what you didn't do. Have compassion for what you're telling yourself about that thing, and have compassion for being able to leave that behind and to move forward, and to know that you have the ability to create anything you want in the world. And you have the ability to rewrite that story that you've been telling yourselves, and to rewrite those actions that you've been taking, which then goes into that third step of just learning how to practice these things, practice the awareness, practice the compassion, and practice rewriting the story that that inner mean girl is going to tell you. And it's going to feel uncomfortable. We've been telling ourselves certain stories all of our lives, you know, and there are going to be days where that loud voice in your head is going to be the negative one. But have compassion for that. Just know that it's there. I can change it. I can also allow it to be there, and I cannot listen to it. It's not facts. We think the stories we tell ourselves are facts.
Yes, that's
they're just sentences in our head, and we can change them.
Yeah. And we have the power to change them.
Yes.
You know, because I talked about this in my last podcast, but I was reading this study. God, I got to find out the university that it was at, but we have 70,000 thoughts per day, 70,000.
Yeah.
Of those 70,000, 80% are negative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't have time to talk about anybody else or worry about what somebody else is doing. We have the battle right here.
Yeah.
70,000 thoughts, 80% negative. We have to replace those negative thoughts with a positive one.
Yeah.
You know, do you have an example that you used to use when you were?
I mean, I think for me, my biggest hang up as a child were my legs. I am short. I am about 5'1". My husband will say I'm not quite 5'1", but I'm 5'1" according to my doctor.
Own it, Abby. Own it.
And I've always had muscular legs. For the longest time, that was a problem for me. I wanted thinner legs. I thought they made me look shorter. All of the things, right? Like all of the things that we tell ourselves about our bodies. And then I just started to embrace them. And I was, these legs get me up in the morning. They allow me to stand. They allow me to walk. You don't even have to go to the positive. You don't have to go to, I love my legs. These are great. You can just go to what they do. And that's going to take you out of the negative spot. Yes, exactly. Accept it. Have compassion for those thoughts and just say, I'm not going to take those. I'm going to just bring it to what they are. And now I look at them completely differently. And yes, there are days that I judge them or, you know, I catch myself going back to those thoughts, but yeah. Then I bring them back to how strong they are. And like, yes, I work out and I can lift heavy weights and I can pick my kids up and I can run with them and I can ride bikes around town with my daughter on the back, right? Like, I can bring it back to what they allow me to do and all of the things that I'm grateful for them.
Right. Yeah. Gratefulness.
Just making that switch.
Huge difference to be grateful because, you know, like some people don't have legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they have to be in a wheelchair. Still have the legs, but they're in the wheelchair. I mean, there's so much to be grateful for. And for me, when I start with that, just as soon as I wake up, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Because you don't have to wake up. Listen, my cousin died in his sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we just never know. Sometimes I'm just like, oh God, I made it. Thank you.
Right, yeah. And I think when it comes to our bodies specifically, like, have you ever noticed every mirror you look in, you look slightly different? You can look in, and even if you look in the same mirror, in the morning, you put on a pair of jeans and you're like, yeah, I look good in these jeans and you feel really confident. And then you catch yourself later in that same mirror and you're like, oh, you know what? It's not what I thought. Like, it's all because the image that you're seeing is in your mind. It's those 80% of those negative thoughts that you're latching onto. But there's 20% of those thoughts that are positive, that are motivating. We just need to train our brain to look for those and not pay as much attention to that 80% that doesn't feel good to us.
So that kind of it's compassion and the practice kind of tie in together.
Yeah.
Because being kind to yourself is a practice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love to use acronyms. So I'm going to call this ACP. Those are the three tips. ACP.
Yes.
Awareness, compassion, and practice. And Abby, I know from my own experience, that practice part can kick your behind.
That's where it's an everyday cycle with these things, right? Because when you practice it and, you know, it's going to knock you down some days, then it's just bringing it back to the compassion. But you can't have that compassion until you're aware of, wait a minute, what's happening here? Why do I feel down? I've been trying to practice it. And it's always bringing it back to what is really happening.
Yeah.
And
then once you get past the tough times, like it was tough when I was trying to change my mindset. But here's the thing. Once I started practicing it, it became human nature. Mm-hmm. And I felt so much better afterwards.
Yes.
So compare how you feel when you stay stuck and then how you feel after you pass that hard point. It's a big difference, but only each individual can do it. Oh, I'm getting notes here that we got 2 minutes, Abby. Okay.
So, yes. And I will just say very quickly on that awareness, that's part of what I do with my clients. It's noticing what is working, what's making you feel good, what inspires you, and what's not working, and do more of what is working. And start pulling away from what's not working. Start modifying the things that aren't working so they become the things that are working.
Yeah. I mean, we are in charge of our story, ladies. So let's take charge. We take charge of everywhere else.
Yes.
We can take charge with ourselves.
Yeah.
So, Abby, thank you so much. Thank you for this. Has been so good. I think that we should get together and do a short on YouTube. I think it'll be really helpful for women because the awareness is just getting more and more.
Yeah.
And the power that we can connect to within to change our mindset is imperative. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got 1 minute. So how can people reach you, Abby?
Yeah, I am most active on Instagram at Wellness with Abby H, which is also my website. You can find me there. And if you're interested, I always offer free consultations to talk through where you are, where you want to be, and if my program and process is for you.
Great. My website, if you need to contact me, is movingforwardforlife.com. There's freebies, life coaching products, coaching sessions. I'm going to leave you with this. Choosing the trajectory of your life is within your reach. You have a choice, so choose you. Thanks so much. See you next time. Thank you so much for listening to Moving Forward for Life with Rosita, Discover Your Way Home. Through my own personal healing journey, I've come out stronger and braver. I know firsthand how hard, how lonely, and heartbreaking it is to continually live in pain. As we work together, you will discover the good, the bad, and the not so pretty parts of yourself so you can uncover the fabulous in you. Discover what you need to come home, whether that's a physical home or the home in you. Join me every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.